Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. First of all, I tell you my policy when it comes to questions and answers. I promise reading the questions, but no promise as related to the answers. If I know the answer, inshallah ta'ala, I will share it with you. If I don't, so you're not alone. So no, me and you, we don't know, alhamdulillah. And I will do my best to ask one of the people of knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. طيب, the question said, Salam alaikum wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you advise us on how we can help the single / divorced / homeless sisters that are in our community? Barakallahu feek. That's what I was going to say. This question here, usually the administration of the and the imam of the masjid, they are the one who address these issues. Because as Muslims, we help each other. And we help the needy, those who are in need. So if anyone going through some hardship, as for me, I will say, may Allah make things easy for you. But then they can contact the idara here, the board of Masjid al-Tawheed, and inshallah ta'ala, our brother Abu Salah and the noble brothers with him, I'm sure they will do what they can to assist and help as they were doing. But just, I want to say something about divorce. Single, divorced, and homeless. Marriage, we have to take it seriously. We have to take marriage very seriously. We don't just get married quickly and leave quickly. There's no fast food when it comes to marriage and divorce. We gotta get quick marriage, quick divorce, in and out. She's not right. But unfortunately, that's what's happening. It's what some people are doing. Marriage, people, they get married according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The guardians and the awliya al-umur of the women, they have to fear Allah. It is on them a great responsibility. A great responsibility. They were commanded to choose for those women that they are responsible of and in charge of. They were commanded by Allah and by the Messenger ﷺ to choose the best for them. To choose the best. And who is the best? The tallest man? The richest man? Or from this country or the other who has citizenship? He's better than the one who still have green card? Which one is better? The one who is better is the one that have this characteristic that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. You got to be pleased with the man's religion and character. You got to be pleased with the manners, the religion, and the character, Zakillah Khair. People don't, subhanAllah, the ulama, when they address this, they say, you'll find the father of the woman, or the one who's in charge of her affairs in marriage. He asks about everything, the dunya. What is your job? How much you make a year? Do you have a house? Do you own your rent? That's all you have? Do you have any other properties? What do you drive? All of these questions. The religion is the last thing they ask, if they ask. That's why how many nice sister, a good, righteous, believing woman ends up with a corrupt man. Unfortunately, a good sister, she has hope, she want to build a life upon the deen of Allah, upon sunnah, and she find herself sharing not only the room, but her life and her dreams with the one who doesn't care. How many women we hear, a righteous sister, she ends up with the man who still do drugs, drink alcohol, he has no job, abusive, no manners, because of that quick marriage. And in another way, some women, they get married, and then as soon as there is the first problem, they're like, hold it, I'm out, I'm gone. No, don't be hasty. No. Don't be hasty. Do you think that there is somewhere a marriage that is problem-free? There is no such thing. There is no such thing. Nobody, everybody have problems. But the importance is to how to deal with those problems when they occur. That's the main thing. Sometimes some women, they have not, they, as soon as they differ with the husband, I'm out. Now she's homeless. She don't even have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. You gotta be patient. First of all, you have to make the right, you have to make the right choice. You have to make the right choice first. Be patient. Choose the one who has the deen. And if something happened, problems, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us whenever you have problem, divorce, get away, get out, split? No. Allah did his steps to advise one another, to present some advices and the like. But anyway, I just want to mention some of these benefits, inshallah, if there will be any benefit. But those sisters who are going through this, we make dua for them, may Allah make things easy for them, and they can turn their affairs to the administration, inshallah. Sometimes there is some personal questions. These personal questions, it's better to not send these questions in front of everybody. Inshallah, this simple question, this like people that they have a subhanAllah, personal questions or questions that involve somebody else. We cannot give you an answer based on the conflict. You have, if a woman have a issues with her husband or two partners, we cannot just give an answer based on that, because we have to listen to the other side. So inshallah, my number is 973-417-6025. If somebody wants to call, we can help you later on, no problem, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, I will repeat, inshallah, 973-417-6025. I will do my best, inshallah ta'ala. You, your guardian, the husband, if you have married, your father, if you have a father, can call me, no problem. Said, I heard that you can pray Jumu'ah Salat any time of Friday. Is that true? I want to share with you what I remember from the statements of the ulama, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in his book, Al-Sharh al-Mumta', he mentioned statements of the ulama pertaining to the madhab and other statements of other madahib. Likewise, Imam al-Shawkani in his book Layl al-Awtar, He mentioned statements of the ulama. They differ. Some of them, they even say Jumu'ah can start early in the morning. But the Rajah, Imam al-Shawkani says, that Jumu'ah prayer can start before Dhuhr prayer, immediately before. Even though there is other narration that says not wajib, but it is better to do it after Dhuhr, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do in as related to the Jumu'ah. That's like I say, this is what I remember, but alhamdulillah, if I'm wrong, may Allah forgive me. And inshallah ta'ala, if you have those books I mentioned, you can find details, alhamdulillah, answers of the ulama. So your children can intercede for you. But does this go for the children you raise that come from your spouse? Allahu A'lam. This is a question. The hadith says, وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ. A child, didn't say stepchildren. But there is a lot of good if you raise children. If a sister, for example, is married to a brother, he has previous children, and she was patient, alhamdulillah, and helped him raise these children upon Islam, Allahu Akbar, that's a lot of good for you. That's a lot of good, alhamdulillah. You get rewarded from Allah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please explain the roles of both parents towards the children with regard to raising them. Does the mother have more responsibilities towards daughters opposed to the boys? This is a very important question, and this actually should be not just a brief answer, but this actually a series of lectures. This is a seminar to itself. If Allah will, inshallah, maybe next time we will do a whole seminar on this, because of the importance of raising children. Raising children is the responsibility of the parents. In a main, that's their main responsibility at first. But the parents, they have to learn themselves. They have to be taught, because children are not going to learn until parents are taught. وَفَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The one who doesn't possess something can give it. That's why it's very important to stick to knowledge, to learn. That's what the ulama, they says. And also they says, but some parents, they maybe, for whatever reason, they don't have knowledge. Then they shouldn't say, oh, we don't have knowledge. No. You find somebody who teach your children. Put them in a school, trustworthy school, inshallah ta'ala, that can provide Islamic education for your children. Teach them the Arabic language. Teach them Quran. Teach them hadith, the seerah, the akhlaq of al-Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, protect yourselves and your families from the fire. قال غير واحد من الصحابة منهم علي رضي الله عنه وابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قو بمعنى علموهم وأدبوهم. علموهم الإسلام وأدبوهم. More than one of the companions, the ulama, they says from them علي رضي الله عنه, from them ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, they says, how you protect your children from a fire? By teaching them Islam, so they can act upon it, and by giving them the manners of al-Islam. And you don't make no difference between boys and girls. That's not permissible. You have to be just. You have to have the adl. You have to be just. You teach both of them. And you treat them both in the right way. Regarding restaurants and eating out as family, are we allowed to eat at a restaurant that serves alcohol? Example, read the lobster. الله يجزاك خير الله يجزاك خير قول العربي حيطول. All these questions, by the way, they came in English. That's why I'm الله المستعان I'm answering in English. And وأعتذر للأخوات بالعربي. Now the Muslim should stay away from everything that is haram. We don't go to these places that serve alcohol or serve pork or serve anything that is haram. We don't go to these places. Another question about divorce and this we leave it. Inshallah ta'ala. I believe, she said, I believe I have been slandered. And now it seems I can't find a wakil to get married. How can I find a wakil? I don't know what's the relationship between being slandered and not finding the wakil. Let's say, first of all, if a woman have a father that is Muslim, grandfather, paternal uncle, brothers, not in Islam, brothers, an older son. These are your wali. They have to be your walis, not by choice. But if the woman, maybe she just become Muslim, alhamdulillah, and nobody in her family that is Muslim, then she comes in America, she comes to the masjid. She comes to the imam of the masjid or to the administration, and they will appoint and find someone for her, inshallah ta'ala, to represent her. That's easy, alhamdulillah. Said, what are the etiquettes of a Muslimah when leaving her home? Dress, smell, voice, character, barakallahu fikum. Now, the Muslimah should learn these etiquettes before leaving her house. Whether going to visit her parents, coming to the masjid, shopping, going to the doctor appointments, or any reason. But usually the women, they should not just leave the house for no reason. The best places for women are their homes. That's the home. Even praying, when you come to the prayer, which is the best ibadah, a woman is permissible for her to pray at the masjid if she adorn herself with some etiquette that we're going to mention, but still praying at home is better for her. It's permissible for her to come to the masjid, but praying in her home is better. As the Prophet ﷺ said to a woman, this is the Prophet ﷺ. He said to her, you praying in the masjid of your tribe is better for you than praying with me in my masjid. And then he said to her, you praying in your house is better for you than praying in the masjid of your tribe, al-hadith. Even in the house, there is places that are better than others. Her praying in her bedroom is better than praying in the living room. Yeah, subhanAllah. But if a woman have to leave, and she have a need to leave the house, na'am, the dress, she has to dress properly. Dressing properly, not according to the customs and this and that, especially if those customs go against the legislation, what Allah has legislated. She has to dress in accordance to the dress code that is legislated for her in Islam. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala has a beautiful book, Jilbab al-Mar'a al-Muslima. the attire of a Muslim woman, get it. You can download it from the internet, inshallah. Read it. It's very important. As for the smell, it is not permissible. It is haram for the woman to leave the house with perfume on. It's not permissible for a woman to have perfume on and leave the house. As for her voice, she should not raise her voice around men. Sometimes women, they are talking together and they're raising their voice, they're laughing, softening their voices in front of men. No, they can't do that. Likewise, the way they walk, they have to walk with hishma. They have to be modest. They don't walk in front of men and keep going and back and forth in front of a group of men. They go straight to where they go with hishma, with modesty. And of course, the character, she has to be modest. She should know why she's leaving the house. Like if she comes to the masjid, she's driving, or her husband, or her father, or her brother, her uncle, grandfather drop her off, straight to the masjid. She don't be in the parking lot looking. No, she goes straight to the masjid. And right after the salat, she leave or she wait until the man leave. The Sahabiyah, they used to leave immediately after the salam. So they don't mix with men when the man came out. And the men too, they used to stay a little bit to give the time for the women to leave as well. Is it okay if you have Christian friends, even their intention is to become Muslim? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahadukum man yukhali." A person is in the religion of his closest friends. So let's every one of you be careful to choose who they take in as friends. So this is very important. You want to be around those people who you will learn from them. You want to be around those friends. They will teach you what you don't know in your religion. They remind you of Allah when you make a mistake. They remind you of the salah. They tell you this is not pleasing to Allah. But none of this will be possible around non-Muslims. Non-Muslims, if you have some people that are interested in Islam, you be kind to them. You talk to them in a nice way. Yes, you spend some time with them, not when they are doing things that are displeasing to Allah. You don't go to their places when they have no etiquette of Islam. They come to your place, if it's possible. And you talk to them, you take good care of them, you cook something good for them, you give them a gift, make them love Islam, and talk to them about Islam, inshallah ta'ala. If a woman prays a salat in its early time, then the husband comes late and tell her to repeat the salat with him in jama'ah, because there is more reward to pray in jama'ah. There is different angles in this. First of all, this man coming late. Did you ask him why he's late? Another thing, why didn't he pray in the masjid? I hope he have valid excuses. All right? But you, as a wife, you want to know why your husband came late. Maybe he came from work late. Maybe he has a flat tire. Allahu a'lam. Nuhsinu dhan. We think good about our brothers. If a woman pray, we pray only one time. We don't repeat the same fard twice. As can she pray with him and that salat be the sunnah for her? Allahu a'lam. We can leave this and we ask one of the people of knowledge, inshallah. Do we have in our history a Sahabiya, female companion, who wasn't righteous and later became righteous through seeking knowledge, and her children became righteous through her alone, regardless of their father's character and deen. That's a homework for me. All right, thank you for giving me homework. What is the ruling for taking care of in-laws if they are not upon the deen, and if she fears their company may affect the upbringing of children? This is a very important question. The woman, the believing woman, she should be obedient to her husband. Upon obedience, not upon disobedience to Allah. Upon ma'ruf. And a part of that she should be kind and nice to his parents. She should treat his parents in a very, very nice way. She cook their favorite meals. If she don't know, she learn. She talk to them nicely. When they come in the house, she give them the best place in the house. She smile in their faces. Now, that's a believing woman. And she constantly remind her husband, did you call your mother today? Did you stop and see her? Did you talk to your father? Are you helping them when they need? Are you calling them and checking if they need anything? That's a believing woman. She's constantly reminding her husband, be nice to your parents. You got to. It's an obligation. Especially your mother. But now in the case, if those in-laws, they are not practicing the religion, and they have some bad habits, and they don't show respect when they come and visit, she still have to be nice and kind and talk to her husband. Because it will be way better if he comes from him than when he comes from her. She just tell him, look, when you weren't here, your parents came here and they were singing with the boys and the girls. They were doing certain things that I don't want my children to do. Would you please address this issue with your parents? It will be better if you talk to them than I talk to them. And this is very important. When it comes to in-laws, let's the husband talk to his parents. And let's the wife talk to her parents. Because even if you're right and you say something, I say, why he has to talk to us like that? And they're going to complain and it's going to be a big thing. Naam, you have to take in consideration this. Because you are responsible as related to the upbringing of your children. And even if your own parents, they may interfere with the upbringing of your children, you still have to do something about it, but in a kind way, in a nice way. You explain to them. Tell them that we don't want our children to go to movies where they go with you. Because sometimes the grandparents pick up the children and they take them to so many places. No, tell them, look, no problem. My children want to spend some time, but this is how it is and how it is. And it will be way better if you explain to them prior to things happen. Wallahu a'lam. So there are opinions, the questions, there are opinions in following issues. Covering the face. Number two, regarding reading Quran during menstruation. Number three, entering to the mosque while on menstruation cycle. And it says, you said after Fajr time that when there are opinions, there should be one opinion upon truth. Could you please inform us? Which are the opinions regarding these issues are the correct ones? Actually, what I thought I said after Fajr, I could be wrong. What I thought I said is that when there is difference of opinions, we look at that issue. If one scholar says it's okay, one scholar says it's not okay. But the one who says it's okay has adilla, sound proofs. The one who says it's not okay has no proofs. We go with the one that has proofs. And vice versa. But if two noble scholars of Ahlus Sunnah, who are known with their knowledge, credibility, honesty, truthfulness, taqwa, and they are sincere to the people, and they differ in an issue, but none of them have a clear proof to support, but mashallah, they're ulama, they said, this is what I may ijtihad lead me to, then at that time you follow one of them, insha'Allah ta'ala, especially for the laymen. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, for the laymen who don't understand the adilla, yes, they can follow one alim, trustworthy scholar. But for those who are students of knowledge and they can study the adilla, it's not permissible for them to follow anybody. Because they know the adilla. I'll give you an example. I was in Sheikh Rabia's house once, one of the trips of Hajj. And the Sheikh, he was refuting this Sufi, big Sufi that causing a lot of problems. He has millions of followers. And the Sheikh is bringing nuqulat and statements from the books of the ulama, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ibn al-Qayyim, many books of the ulama. And then he was in this point and he, Sheikh, couldn't find the hadith. They looking. I didn't look, I was just sitting watching. But some couple of students, they look in these books, they look in nothing. We were there until like 1:30, 2 a.m. The Sheikh, you know, he's an older Sheikh. He has some health issues, shafa'ullah, but he's still looking in the books. Let me read that. Read it again. You benefit a lot being around him. Then we left. The next day we came, and one student, he was so happy. He said, "Hey Sheikh, I find the hadith." The Sheikh, "Really? What is it?" He said, that. The Sheikh said, "That da'if, ya akhi, da'if, weak." Then the student says, "Imam al-Albani, hassanahu al-Albani, ya Sheikh." Sheikh al-Albani said, "It's hassan." He says, "If the Albani was doing this search, he can use it. Me, I can't." He says, "Me, I can't. I studied the hadith, and I find it weak with me." And he couldn't use it, even though he was in dire need to use the hadith. Aynan. But for the laymen, now, we take from Albani. Albani is alim, imam, allama. We take an opinion of Sheikh bin Baz, he's alim and allama. And as for which one is correct here, it's going to take a longer time. And we have something to do, right? And now, mashallah. But still, this is also one of the things that is easy to get, because this, all of them, the face and this, most in the Quran, there are questions that are answered by Lajna Da'ima. Take this website, alifta.net. alifta.net. Bil Arabi, wa bil Faransi, wa bil Inglisi, wa rubbama bil Lughat Ukhra, or Diya, qada. alifta.net, alifta.net. In there is the fatawa of so many questions. There is a search. You just put the covering the face of a woman. You put reading the Quran and like this, attending the masjid, and they will give you the answers with the adilla. If there is any ikhtilaf with the ulama, you will find over there the fatawa of Sheikh bin Baz, the fatawa of Lajna Da'ima, and the like, inshallah ta'ala. Last question. There is a trend in America where women who have not officially studied, they go from place to place giving halaqat. The proof they use is the hadith, Balighu anni walau ayah. Please explain the role of woman in da'wah. What I remember as related to this is that the woman, is not upon her to travel from a place to a place to give da'wah. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the opinion of some of our renowned scholars from them, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. That the women don't go from a seminar, from a place to a place. The woman, she teach in her house. She teach her children. Her husband, if he need to be taught, and he should humble himself, if his wife know, have some knowledge, he has to humble himself and learn from her. And also she teach her family members. And she teach her sisters in the masjid. She will come early and teach them some Arabic, teach them some Quran. And also she take advantage of opportunities when sisters who come and visit her house, she will sit with them and teach them. And this is something else that you can check on aliftah.net. May Allah forgive me if I said something that is not right. If anyone find now or later that I said anything that is not appropriate for me to say, please speak now or later. Okay? And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to always say that which is right. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and forgive us if we make mistakes. Anything that I say that is right, it is because of the tawfiq of Allah. And anything that he says is wrong, is I assume, myself assume the responsibility, and I will take back any mistakes of my part. Jazakum Allah khairan, barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.